Good morning. Today's shiurim, this shiur is L'ilui Nishmas, in memory of Miriam Masha ben Baruch. The learning that we do should be a liyah for her neshama. Today is Beis Adar Tavshinayin Gimel, February 12th. We are learning here Megillas Esther, and we started yesterday in Perek Aleph. We saw the first couple of psukim, and we ended off yesterday with the very important yesod in Yiddishkeit. And the question is, if I would ask, who is the evil man, the Rasha in the Purim story, in the Hanukkah story, in the Pesach story, we quickly say that it is Haman, it is Paro, it is Antiochus, and so on and so forth. And that's true. They were the Rishayim, they are the Rishayim. However, it's a very important yesod, a fundamental principle in Yiddishkeit for us to remind ourselves that it's not absolutely correct. Yes, Haman is the Rasha, and Haman's goal is literally to do what his descendant Hitler Yimach Shemo did. But Haman, his goal was to be successful in having every single Jew cremated and destroyed and wiped off the face of this earth. Haman's power, Ahasuerus's power, as we learned yesterday, Ahasuerus was a Rasha. From the beginning of the story until the end of the whole story, he was a Rasha as well. Paro, all the Rishoyim, all their strength and all their power only comes from us. And what does it mean it comes from us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for Klal Yisrael. And Hashem put into the CPU, into the DNA, into the whole way the world runs, according to the actions of the Jewish people, of Klal Yisrael. This concept is elaborated and explained more in detail in Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, from HaChaim Volozhiner. And the point is that if we do our mitzvahs, like we say in Kriya Shema, then we'll have our health, we'll have our food for the animals. But if not, then we serve foreign gods. There's one letter. It's the same word, but it's spelled with a different letter. There's Vavadita. If we come to be an Eved with an ayin to Hashem, then we will not be Avad with an Aleph. We will not be lost. We will not be destroyed. It's the same word with a different letter. You see how that works? If we don't serve Hashem, then we'll be Vavadat Hashem Akecha. Hashem will wipe you out. And that is what the story of Megillas Esther with Haman and Mordechai and Ahasuerus is coming to teach us over here. And that's the lesson that we are in this Golus. That it's not because there was this evil man, Haman, who wanted to destroy us, the Jewish people, but it's because we went to the Sud of Ahasuerus. And this is a very important concept, because if Rachman al-Etzlan, there are tragedies or there are tzoros in Klal Yisrael, we don't look and say, oh, it's the Arabs. Yes, the Arabs are doing the wrong thing. But we have to look at ourselves as a klal, as a Jewish people, and say, we have to do tshuva. Hashem is talking to us. And the Rambam tells us very frightening words. The Rambam tells us, in Hilchos Tainis, in the laws of fasting, the Rambam tells us that if a person says that the world is running, Olam kimin hago noheg, the world is running according to the regular. Listen, there are hurricanes that come, and people lose their houses. This is the way the world is. People have such a mindset. And unfortunately, there are wars, and people live, and people, unfortunately, are the way as well. The Rambam says a word which none of us want to be called. He says that's called achzarius. Such a mindset to say that's the way of the world is achzarius, it's cruelty. And the question is, why is that achzarius? Why is that achzarius? Why is that cruelty to say that when a hurricane comes and destroys houses and people are homeless, why is that achzarius to say that's part of how the world runs. There's hurricanes, there's earthquakes, there's tornadoes. Any suggestions? Why is that called achzarius? Why is that called cruel? Why is it called cruel when there are some wars?
If you don't believe that Hashem has his hand in everything, if you're saying it's just a chance, then it is cruel. But it's just you might not understand the plan, but it's part of a plan.
So
it's a consequence of the action mixed up with the plan. We can't separate one part from another, but it's not chance.
That's 100% correct. That's 100% correct. And that is the yisoid and the teretz that we have to live our life with. And that's I'm just going to repeat it from Gedalia over here, and for those listening who didn't hear it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his hand is in everything we do. And that's what Megillas Esther is teaching us, which we already know. We just have to have these reminders on a regular basis, because there are times when we think, oh, that's the way the world runs. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us in every single little detail, like the story I told you yesterday when my wife went to the store what are the chances for that to happen where the lady behind the counter says, oh, Mrs. Greenstein, for you anything, even though the store is closed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is in every single thing we do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is in everything that's taking place in the world. And if there are tzaras taking place, it's because Klal Yisrael have to do something, and you know what? There are those who say that the Jews run the world. You know what? I mean, I know we're being recorded, and don't repeat this to the wrong people, but it's true. I'm not referring to Wall Street. So we have over here in Pasuk Gimel, which is what we left off with yesterday, Bishnas Shalosh Lemolchoi, the third year of his reign. Also, Mishte L'chol Sarav Avadov, he made a Mishte for all his Sarav Avadov. Chel Paras Omadai, Hapartim Sarav Medina Sofonov. Why did he make this Mishte? He made this Mishte because, as Pasuk Dal tells us, Behar Oysay is Oysha Kavoid Malchusoy, we said he needed to build himself up. He was not from royalty. He had to show everybody he is a Melech. And the precious glory and great wealth he has. Yamim Rabin, it was many days. Shmoinu Masyoim, 180 days. The Vilna Goyin has a cheshbon, a calculation, which we're not going to see inside. I'll just tell you, basically the yisoid is, why was the party 180 days? Was it just like he pulled out, he did a lottery, like they'll do later on, and what day the Jews will be destroyed on. So they figured, okay, 180 days? How'd they get to the number 180 days? 180 corresponded to how many treasure houses he had, and it took 180 days to show all of those different rooms off. The point of this pasuk is, Behar oisoy es oisher kevoid malchusoy. Achashverosh wanted to show all these people, look how powerful I am. Look how wealthy I am. And it took 180 days to show this to everyone. That's what the Vilna Gaon tells us. Shmoinu Ma'asyoim. And he tells us, I'm just reading from the end of the Vilna Gaon's parish on this pasuk. He tells, Baharoisa, what is Baharoisa? Kloimer, Baoison Hayomim, on those days, Shehera Oisom, Esa Oisher, Kol Shisha Oitsorois, Bechol Yoim. Six different storehouses, warehouses of gold, silver, diamond, pearls, whatever wealth you can imagine. I don't think there were any Ben Franklin's back then. Whatever you think there was, he had it. Six a day. Yomim Rabim. Also, Ba'ois Nahayam Mishta, this is how the Vilna Gaon explains these words. When the Pasuk says Yamim Rabim, it means those days he made this Mishta. And which total up to Shmoinim Ma'asyoim, 180 days. Pasuk Dalet. Uvim Malois Hayam Ha'ila, at the end of these 180 days, Also Hamelech L'chol Ha'am Hanin Soim Meshush Nabiro, Nimi Godol Vad Koton Mishte Shiva Somim Bachatza Ginas Bison Hamelach. At the end of 180 days, Now he tells everybody to come. L'chol ha'am. The first 180 was for a select few. This few of many people, but it was for his, as Pasuk base, as Pasuk Gimel tells us, L'chol sarav, v'avadav, chel parosumadai. Now, if Mulayis hayam ha'ila asa melech l'chol ha'am ha'nimsoim b'shushan ha'bira, l'migodol, from the older person, v'ad katon, mishta shivas yamim, for 7 days, b'chatz aginas bisan ha'melech. I want to start with the end of this pasuk. What does it mean, b'chatzar, in the courtyard of the Ginas Bisan HaMelech? I have a feeling we're not going to be able to finish the whole Pirush Megillah Esther, so I'm going to fast forward to the end of the Megillah. Here, the Vilna Gaon tells us, b'chatzar binas Ginas Bisan HaMelech, he tells like this, l'fishe derech, it was the custom that in the beautiful garden of the king, they had a house. This house was where he would go relax. He would see the beautiful scenery and he would take a walk over there. V'lefnei hagan, before the garden was a chatzar, was a courtyard. He put everybody in the courtyard before this garden. Now, have anybody been to Botanical Garden over here? What's it called? Not too far away. There's a garden. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Longwood Gardens. Thank you. It's very large. Very nice. Beautiful. Whatever we can think. Right now, I'm trying to picture this in my head. And for those who are listening who don't know what Longwood Gardens are, they're picturing in their head their Longwood Gardens in their community. What took place in Achashverosh's time was much better than that. This was the Melech, not just a wealthy person. So he places the people in front, Lifnei Hagan, in front of the garden, which is the Chatzar. And then which is in front of the palace. If we fast forward towards the end of the Megillah and we look at the words, this garden plays another role in the nes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulling all the strings. And the Vilna Gaon tells us every single word here in Megillas Esther is another chelek of the nes. We have to be able to just, not us, but the Mefarshim, to pull it out and teach us what's taking place. How does anybody want to suggest how this is a nace? How this is discussing, referring to the nace? At the end of Megillah, there was a second mishta, second suda. A lot of meals going on over there. The cook is very busy. And Achashverosh had in his mind that Haman, I don't know, something's up with him. Why was Achashverosh confused with Haman? Because when the night Achashverosh couldn't sleep, at 3 o'clock in the morning, his officers tell him that Haman's there waiting to speak with him. 3 o'clock in the morning, why does Haman want to speak with me? And then after Achashverosh says to Haman, what would you do to the one that the king finds savor in his eyes? So Haman, of course, thinks, wait a minute, he's talking about me. He knows I'm an Anav, so he doesn't want to pour all this on me right away, so he wants to go slow. So Haman says, well, you know, give him the king's horse, give him the king's crown, and have someone pull this horse and say, Kacha Yasela Ish, this is what the king will do to the man that the king finds favor in his eyes. And this is what Haman tells Achashverosh. Achashverosh hears these words, and in his back of his mind, he's thinking, that's what he wants. Is this man after my throne? This is what's taking place. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the wheels moving in motion for Achashverosh to be thinking like this. Of course, we all know that, and whenever, every year when I hear these words in the Megillah, I have like a smile on my face when Mordechai says, when Achashverosh says to Haman, go ahead and do everything you said to Mordechai. I heard years ago from one of my Rebbeim, Rav Shalom Brevda, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, just nifted recently, that brings down, I think, from the Zayah Kodesh, when the Haman heard these words, go do this to Mordechai, he had a heart attack and died. He couldn't handle it. Mordechai, what do you mean, Mordechai? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, wait a minute, Tchias HaMesim is due over here. Why? Because I'm going to punish you more. Hashem said to Haman, you're not done yet. I have more to do for you, with you. We're fast-forwarding by that scene, by the second Suda now, because we're discussing here, B'chatza Ginas Bisan HaMelech, in Pasuk Hei, and now we're discussing at the end of Megillah, where Achashverosh is told by Esther that there is an evil man that wants to destroy my people. And of course, she takes her hand, as we all know, and points it to Achashverosh, and quickly the Malach Gavriel runs down by Hashem's orders and pushes the hand towards Haman. Achashverosh is fuming mad. He was thinking already for a while that maybe this Haman's after my throne. Then that thought process is continuing when only he, Achashverosh, is invited to a private party with Esther and Haman. So this thought is building and growing more and more. One party, a second party. And now Esther says, this man is trying to hurt my people. What does he do? Achashverosh goes out from this room and he goes out to the garden. Which garden does he go to? He goes to, and if you take a look in Perek Zion, Pasuk Zion. Perek Zion, Pasuk Zion. And it says in Perek Zion, Pasuk Zion, that 7:7, V'hamelech kom, v'chamosoy, with his anger, he's upset. Mimishta hayayin. Now what was he doing? He was drinking. Doesn't take too much to get Achashverosh angry. El Ginas HaBison. He's going out to the Ginas HaBison. It's the same Ginas HaBison in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Hei. V'haman oma levakish al nafsho mi Esther HaMalko. And Haman goes to Esther, which we're going to discuss in a minute. We're going to stop there with Haman. What happened was, the Gemara tells us, Chazal tell us, and the Gra brings down over here, that when Haman was fuming mad, he went out to the garden. We learn now that when a person's upset, he should take a walk. Go out from that room, that situation which you're in, and take a breather. Change the scenario. So Achashverosh is going out from this room, walks into his Ginas HaBison, walks into his beautiful garden, and what does he see? He sees people, gardeners, destroying the garden. And on the back of their shirt, their uniform, it says, employees of Haman. And Achashverosh says, what are you doing? And they said, we have direct orders from Haman to cut off these rose bushes. And whatever flowers, that's like the extent of my knowledge of flowers, really. But and all these beautiful things out there. And they're chopping and destroying. And what do you mean? He goes out to cool off, to calm down, and he gets more angry, more upset. Says Chazal, these are not people. These are malachim. These are malachei asharis that came down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All part of the plan. To have Achashverosh fuming mad. Now we continue with the rest of this pasuk over here. In Pasuk Zion. Picture this in your mind. Achashverosh is walking back in now. The Haman Omad Levakesh Al Nafshoi. Haman is begging Esther, please have mercy. Speak to Achashverosh on my behalf. Levakesh Al Nafshoi. Esther, who? Who's the Esther? Esther Hamalka, the queen. Ki ro, ki cholso eilov haro me'eis hamelech. His plan is coming to an end. And this is the time, that same moment, when he fell down on top of Esther. And once again, he's trying to get up. But he's like paralyzed because the Malach Gavriel, has a sharp knife in his back. Every time he tries to move, he gets stabbed in the back. He can't get up. He doesn't know what's going on. And this is when Achashverosh walks into the room. It's not over yet. At that same moment, there's the knock on the door, as we discussed. Right? We discussed this. And for those who weren't here, I'll repeat it. Charvona is at the door. As we mentioned, Charvona is Haman's right-hand man. Haman's right-hand man. And Charvona points out to Achashverosh, you see in the backyard over there, that large pole, 50 amos high? That's in the backyard of Haman. You know what that pole is doing? That pole is in Haman's backyard to hang Mordechai. Remember Mordechai, who saved your life? That's what the pole is there for. Does that make sense to you, Your Royal Highness Achashverosh? That Haman should be killing Mordechai? Achashverosh says, this is enough. Enough is enough. Kill him. Kill him now. Take him away and have him hung. Now, we said yesterday, this is the same Ginas Abison, the same garden we have now. We're going back to Perek Aleph, Pasuk Hei. This is the same Ginas Bison HaMelech, the same garden that where the suit is taking place. We said yesterday, I think we said yesterday, if not, we said a different time, that Haman, as we'll see, and just once again, I'm not sure how many days of this shiur we'll have, so I'm going to put this information with us in the shiur now, that Haman encouraged Achashverosh, did we say this yesterday? Okay, so Haman encouraged Achashverosh when Vashti did not come to institute a rule. What's this rule that is the institute? The rule is that the man makes the rules of the house. As well as whatever the king says, the king is a final decision. He doesn't have to speak to his advisors whether or not you kill somebody. Now, why did Haman do this? Why did Haman encourage this? Because Haman had a very smart wife, Zeresh. And Zeresh spoke a language which Haman didn't know. So Haman felt inferior to his wife. So Haman now figured, when Vashti did not come, he told Achashverosh, you have to understand something, you're the king. And if you let your wife step all over you, all the women from Paras to Madai, 127 Medinos, will be in charge of the house, stepping over the husbands, because they see, just like the queen, is in charge of the king. This is what Haman is telling Achashverosh.
You're accepting the language that Mamuchan was Haman.
Yes, we're going with that. Yes, that presence, yes, correct. We're saying that Mamuchan was Haman, according to that language, yes, the Chazal. So, Achashverosh says to himself, you know, you're saying good. You're saying good. It's a good shot. So what does he do? Achashverosh institutes a law that says all the men have to, the wives that listen to their husbands. Haman is a happy man. He'll go home and tell his wife, no more of that language that you speak in this house. And furthermore, this was Haman's downfall. This, years earlier, in the beginning of this whole story with Megillus Esther over here, when Haman encouraged Ahasuerus to institute this law, that the king will say off with his head without speaking to his advisors, and it will take place. Because then, as we just said in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, what happened was Ahasuerus was so upset. As in Pasuk Ches in Perek Zayin, it says, HaMelech Shav Miginas HaBison El Beis Mishteh HaYayin. He comes back from the Ginas HaBison, from the garden, into the Mishteh HaYayin, the wine party. The Haman Noifel Almita Asher Esther Aleho. And Haman is on top of Esther, on the bed, that the couch bed that Esther is sitting on. Omar HaMelech, the famous words. What kind of audacity do you have? What kind of person are you to try to take the queen when I'm still in the house? And this is when we said, Charvona comes in. Here's that tree, Lemordechai. Asher diber toiv ala melech. Who is Mordechai? He spoke good about you, the king. He saved your life. Where is that pole? Oymid bebeis haman gavoya chamishim amo. 50 amos high so everyone can see it. What did Ahasuerus say? Vayomer hamelech tuluhu olav. Hang him on that tree, on that pole. Vayislu es haman aleitz asher hichinu Mordechai vachamas hamelech shachacha. Ahasuerus had him hung on that tree, and the king's wrath, his anger, subsided. We're going to end today with one more question, which I think we discussed. I don't remember though, so I'll repeat it if we did discuss it. Charvoina, I said, was not a good man. We have, at the end of Megillas Esther, at the end after the laning, we say the words, V'gam Charvoina, what do we say? Zachor L'tov. What's Pshat? What, are you going to say Charvoina Zachor L'tov to a Rasha? So, one of the Mefarshim, the Gra, another Mefarshim, explained that Charvoina here was not Charvoina. Charvoina was Eliyahu HaNavi, disguised as Charvoina. And that's when he came in and he knocked on the door and he said, Your Highness, look at that pole, 50 amos high. And there are many reasons as to, there's one main reason as to why we dress up on Purim. The main reason is what we're saying here. Things look one way. It looks like Charvoina is this Rasha. It wasn't Charvoina. It was Eliyahu HaNavi. Everything looks one way, but it's really a Hester Panim. The hidden hand of Hashem, as the Gemara asks, Esther in the Torah 9. Where is Esther in the written this Esther in the Torah? But Yom when he has to ask their panai, I will hide my face, says Hashem. That we won't see, as Ari pointed out, we won't see the Yad Hashem, the open hand of Hashem. But yet, nonetheless, Hashem is running the show. We'll stop here for today. Ms. Hashem will continue tomorrow or later today.